SOP 33.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Well, hello, welcome back to the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. It's the official podcast of the schoolpodcasting.com. To subscribe to this podcast, simply go out to schoolpodcasting.com. There's a link right up at the top of the page. For show notes, go to schoolpodcasting.net. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to schoolpodcasting@gmail.com. And if you'd like to phone it in, it's 888-563-3228. In fact, I had an email from Brian, so we'll start off with some email. By the way, I'm your host, Dave Jackson. Thanks for coming along. We talk a lot about podcasting here, tips and insights, and today we're going to be talking with John Zaratsky from FeedBurner, explaining some of the stats and the new features that they've added out at FeedBurner.com. Now, Brian sent me an email and said, hey, I want to have a toll-free number for my podcast. Who do you use? Well, I'll put a link out at the show notes. It's Call 8. It's basically, you've probably heard of K7.net. It's more or less the same company. It's their version they just tag an 800 number onto it. And this is one of those things that if you are going to use one of these, I'll be straight up out front with you. Please go to schoolpodcasting.net. I'll put a link right there with the show notes, because if you sign up for one, there is an affiliate program with that, and I'll actually get some sort of, I don't know, commission or finder's fee or something like that. So, and that's not why I'm recommending them. I use them. I mean, if you call 888-563-3228, you're using a Call 8 toll-free number. So on the show today, we have John Zaratsky. I'm going to try to shut up here because it's about it's around 13 to 15-minute interview with John. We talk about the new things that are going on at FeedBurner. They're adding all sorts of new stuff all the time, and I plan on taking some of these. And I know that he talks about their new email service as well as some of the new stats and things of that nature, and so I'm going to be testing some of these in the future and comparing some of the mail programs. So appreciate John taking the time out. And this was recorded, I should probably explain this. This was recorded via Hot Recorder, and about the time I feel confident using that program, it does something like this. And what it was it shifted either myself or John about a second and a half. So what happens sometimes is you will hear where John starts to answer the question before I finish asking it. Now, I did go back and do some post-editing, but you may hear sometimes where the rhythm of the conversation is a little bizarre, and that is why. So once again, I tell myself, always have a backup. I usually, that's the other question I got this week, was how do I record Skype calls? I usually have my headphone out, go into the line-in of my iRiver, and then I plug my headphones into the headphone jack of the iRiver. So I kind of, you know, instead of plugging the headphones into the headphone jack, I have it go out to, you know, I have the iRiver kind of in between that. And in reality, I think that's the best way to go, because if you think about it, you're running the software Skype when you're trying to record with another software-based program. I really think the key to this, and most people like Rob over at Podcast 411, he uses an outside recorder, and I think really that's the key in terms of making it easy, at least. But I am going to be testing Pamela and some of the other programs that are made to record Skype. I think that's going to be my new focus going forward in the future, and I'll be reporting on those and making tutorials as well. So with that, I'm going to shut up, and here is my interview with John from FeedBurner. All right, on the Skype phone, we have from FeedBurner. Check them out at feedburner.com, John Zaratsky. And they've launched a bunch of new technology to the site, in addition to, it's kind of old school now, but one of the first things I wanted to talk to John about, and thanks for coming on the show, you kind of upgraded your stats package a little while back, and so why don't you just start by explaining what's new and improved in the stats area?
Yeah, we added a few brand new things and a couple of things that people have been asking for. One of the requests that we got a lot from podcasters was, the ability to track how many times their files had actually been downloaded. You know, FeedBurner stats, since the beginning, have given you the ability to see how many people are subscribed to your feed and which items in the feed they're looking at. But for the longest time, podcasters couldn't see which files were being downloaded and how often. So we added that and launched that about 2 months ago. So now any podcaster using FeedBurner for free can go in, turn on the download tracking within the stats, and start to see immediately numbers of which episode has been downloaded, how many times, to sort of use that data to supplement what they're already seeing from FeedBurner stats.
So they can actually see what was the more popular show that way. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, you also have, for anybody who's just using the free stats, you do have some additional features for a pay service, your Pro Stats. What are the additional features that they get if they want to go that route?
So, as always, when you upgrade to Total Stats, which is our Pro option that costs about $5 a month, you get to drill down to the specific item level within your feed. So you're looking at your feed, and you say, wow, you know, I had a big jump in subscribers last Tuesday, or wow, I had a lot of downloads last Tuesday. Let's see what happened on that day. With Total Stats, you can drill into that day and then drill into a specific item and see, I posted that item on Tuesday, or I put out this new episode on that Tuesday, and actually look at the history of that specific item. So that's kind of the fundamental difference between the free stats and the for pay Total Stats. And the other thing that it adds, and this is a new feature that we launched 2 months ago with the rest of this stuff, is something called reach. And reach is something we've been talking about for a long time. It's a very cool number. What it does is it looks across all the people that are using your feed, no matter how they're getting it, whether they're subscribed or they're finding your content somewhere on the web. And it's giving you the total number of people, the unique number of people that have viewed or clicked or downloaded something in your feed for a date period. So you might have, 500 subscribers, but you look and you see that during yesterday or during the last 7 days, maybe 100 or 200 or 300 people of those 500 actually opened up your content, looked at it, downloaded it, whatever they're going to do. They were actually interacting with your content.
Very cool. And then you also added the uncommon top uncommon uses.
So that's another free thing. So we added a bunch of stuff just for the free stats. What uncommon uses is it looks at places where your content is being used around the web that we haven't classified for one reason or another. So one thing that FeedBurner does is we've got this massive database of feed reading applications, podcatchers, podcast directories, pretty much anything that uses a feed as its source. So we can show you, you've got this many people subscribed in iTunes, your content showed up on this podcast directory. But these uncommon uses, these are things that we haven't categorized, we don't know about. And there's some really interesting stuff in there. A couple weeks ago, we put out this report on the podcast market. And we ended up finding a bunch of stuff in the uncommon uses that we hadn't seen before, sites we didn't know about, directories we didn't know about. And so we're using that information so that we can provide a better, better look at all the places your content is being used.
It's named properly. It's an uncommon use. It's like, well, who found this and how did they get there? Which is sometimes a great in terms of a marketing room. You may have come across some message board or something that's that liked your show, and that may be a better place to go back and purposely market to that board or something of that nature.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, more and more the feed, so your podcast feed, or if you're publishing a blog or another type of website, your text feed is sort of the standard format of the content, and that's getting, people are using that all over the place. You've got websites pulling in content from your feed. People are subscribed, and they might grab a link out of your feed. So more and more, a lot of traffic is coming through your feed, and because we, manage the feeds, we're able to see that traffic.
Right, and I just read you guys had thrown out a report saying that you now have, because you do manage so many feeds, that there are now more feeds than radio stations.
Yeah, so the milestone was that we've got now over 44,000 podcasts that are using FeedBurner. which means that the total number of podcasts is certainly much, much higher. But it's an interesting comparison because there are currently about 44,000 radio stations worldwide. So, you know, if you accept that a podcast, you know, which is a series, sort of a regular series of audio programming, is somewhat analogous to a radio station, which is also, you know, regular series of audio programming, then you can start to put into context the growth and the overall reach and impact of podcasting.
Absolutely. Now, if somebody's looking for that download stat, where is that going to be shown when they log into their account?
So if you log in your FeedBurner account and you click on the feed you want to turn on download tracking for, you'll be taken to the Analyze tab. And from the Analyze tab, you want to click in the left column on either Standard Stats or Total Stats, depending on whether you're a free or a pro user. And then there are some options in there, some checkboxes, things you can turn on and off. And one of those is download tracking. You turn that on, you click Save, and then immediately we start to track the downloads of the files that are in your feed.
So that's a free or pay. Either one, you can get that stat.
Yeah, that's a free feature for everyone.
Well, I just turned mine on as we were speaking, so I know you guys just added email and some other things, but what are maybe some of the older, I don't want to say older, but some of the features that have been around that maybe people aren't aware of?
One thing that a lot of people are using, but everybody really should know about, is this feature we've got that's called PingShot. PingShot's a service that will, every time your feed is updated, we will notify a bunch of services, and you've got a bunch of options you can pick up. For podcasters, some of the services that will notify are Odeo, MyYahoo, iTunes, audio.weblogs.com, and there are a bunch of other sites that are not just specific to podcasters. The cool thing about this is it's something that you turn on, and you basically can forget about it. You set it and forget it. And this makes sure that not only is your content being updated right away when you make changes to it, so when you post a new episode of your podcast, that update's going to take place at all the various services that I just mentioned. But also, a lot of services are using, listening for our pings and using that to populate their directories. So if they see a ping from your podcast and they say, oh, I don't know about that podcast, they will then add your podcast to their directory or their service. So PingShot is a really easy and we think really essential way of guaranteeing that your content is always up to date and that it's sort of reaching out as far as it can in as many different directions as it can.
Gotcha. Now, the new thing is you've come up with FeedBurner email.
It's a new thing, but it's kind of not that new. It's email. It's an old thing. And we've actually been doing some form of email delivery for a while now. A couple of months back, we launched a partner service with FeedBlitz, which is a very robust feed to email service. And then a couple of months later, we added one called Squeet, directly in response to what publishers were asking for. And just the other day, we launched our own service. So the difference between our service and those is that ours is just it's a very publisher-oriented experience. It's very easy to set up and turn on. You go in one click, it's turned on. You copy and paste a subscription form onto your website, and then subscribers can or visitors that come to your website can put in their email address, and they're subscribed. And then every night, if there are new content in your feed, we'll send out an email to all those subscribers and notify them that there's new content available.
Gotcha. Now, what else is going on new-wise over at FeedBurner?
Yeah, well, what we have been really focused on lately is a lot of work on the advertising side. So we just launched today, actually, a new feature where advertisers can actually come in and place text ads into our network of feeds. And that's probably, you know, that's been occupying most of our time. We've been expanding the services both for advertisers, like I just mentioned, and also for publishers. So more and more we're starting to let publishers into our ad network, and we're giving them the tools to, you know, sort of opt into the network and we're giving them the tools to say, these are the kind of ads I want to see, and then to approve or reject those ads as they come in from our advertisers, and hopefully, you know, make a little money off the work they're doing.
Sure. Now, where are those ads going to appear then?
Those ads right now are primarily for text feeds, and the way that they work is they appear inside of the feed, just below the content of individual items in the feed. So one of the things that a publisher can specify is the frequency. Do you want the ads to show up in every item in the feed, or every third item, or every fourth item? Right now, we're not offering any advertising services to podcasters, but we got lots of them asking for it. So that's something that we are absolutely planning on getting to, later on this year. But right now, we're focused on building out the core services for podcasters, making sure that distribution is reliable and, you know, as robust as it can be.
Sure. But in the meantime, if you've got a text blog, you can probably take advantage of all those advertising services a lot more than, say, a podcaster could. But
yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. And then the other thing I see here, FeedFlare.
Yeah, FeedFlare is another service that we launched. I think we did the first version of it late 2005, and then rolled out a couple of iterations since then. Basically, what FeedFlare lets you do is put these links in the bottom of your posts in your feed, just like you might put an advertisement at the bottom of your post. We allow publishers to put in these little links that let them do things like, or let their subscribers do things like, email the author, add this post to my delicious bookmarks, see how many links there are coming in from a Technorati search of that post, do all these cool things that build interactivity, build community around the content. So rather than it just being, you know, a one-way thing where you subscribe and then you just kind of receive the content, receive it day after day, FeedFlare lets publishers provide some opportunities for their subscribers who are in their feed to take action and to share the content and to kind of build a community around the content.
Very cool. Well, we'll definitely be keeping a watch at everything that's going on over at FeedBurn. You guys are always adding new fun-filled toys. That's the great thing about it.
Just when you think we're as busy as we can get, we seem to get busier. So it's we're always hard at work, and we've got just a ton of great stuff planned through the summer and through the rest of this year. So definitely keep your eyes open.
Alrighty, and that is going to do it for this edition of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, the official podcast of the School of Podcasting.com. Just one final note as I get out the door here. I do have still a few coupons left. If you go to sign up at the School of Podcasting, there's a spot there when you sign up for a coupon. And if you just type in the word EXPO, better known as Expo between you and me, you can get 50% off your first month. And, of course, it's only $5 anyway, and you can cancel your subscription at any time. The School of Podcasting, here's the big plug that we always do at the end, of course. Hundreds of resources, hours of tutorials. In fact, I just added a tutorial for the new podcast station software. Just added it tonight. So, and they have a tutorial on their site, but mine is, shall we say, unbiased. We'll just go that route. The ins and outs of podcast station. So, always adding more to it. Check it out, schoolpodcasting.com. Thanks for tuning in for the School of Podcasting. As always, feedback is graciously appreciated at my call 8 toll-free number, 888-563-3228. I use that for all my podcasts, so if it sounds a little weird, that's why. And send me an email, schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon. And until then, class dismissed.